What's going on, family? You're listening to Real Laughs Real Radio 104.1. We are your nightcap of comedy. It is Tuesday night, and I'm your host, Ken Miller, in the big chair because Miguel Colon Jr. decided he was going to go to work tonight, even though we know Miguel does not really have a job. Nobody knows what Miguel does, man. I'm joined in virtual studio with my comedy brothers. First off, I got under oath, Mr. Jeff Kaufman. Jeff, how you doing tonight, brother? Yep.
Man, I couldn't be any happier. Miguel's opening for Who Pooted tonight.
Who Pooted, bro? Who Pooted? I remember Who Pooted, yo. I need a behind. What's that behind the music? I need to find Who Pooted.
I need to find
what he up to, man. Mm-hmm. That voice you hear, that is James John. James John is in virtual studio. What's up, bro?
I am. Bro, I'm feeling really good tonight, man. I'm glad to be here with you funny gentlemen.
Good. And my other brother, my good friend, Mr. Mike Hurley, he is in the building. What's up, Mike?
You know, man, just losing count, counting all my blessings. You know, happy as can be here. Life is a gift, and I'm just enjoying it.
The thing about Mike, I can never tell if you sarcastic or you serious, because Mike can say something. I'm like, yo, I need to get Mike therapy.
Yeah.
Mike need therapy. But
Ken, from friend to friend, heart to heart, I appreciate your concern, but I'm doing okay. So thank you so much,
bro. Every time I ask him how he's doing, he says, one day closer to death. I don't know how to answer that.
Yeah.
Mike, you're like one of my homies, bro. You've been around for every comedy fight I've ever had.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's almost like just pulling some strings in the background.
Mike is an Illuminati.
You know, I'll tell you this. When Fortune Feimster's manager called and asked me to open for her on this last Florida run, he's like, yeah, you know, we really enjoyed your performance with her 3 years ago. She's doing this little tour. We were talking names and yours came up. So what have you been doing lately? I didn't want to tell who I've been working with because I didn't want to be like, well, I was on the road with Dustin Diamond, but then I was on the road with Louis Anderson, and then I didn't want him being
Tag and I were in talks next year.
Oh,
now,
I was like,
I'm nervous.
you know, in our business, headline killer means one thing, but then there's another thing.
Oh, yeah. Man. Good time. I'm hanging out with Mike and a comedian, Drop It Dead. I'm fighting. We might want to rethink this friendship, man. But speaking of people dropping dead, I saw this meme.
What a segue.
Yeah.
Smooth. I saw this meme and I had to share the meme because it made me laugh, but it also made me think. I kind of agree with it. So here's the meme. The meme goes, the Purge movies are weird because they said all crime is legal, but everybody automatically went to murder. Right. Nobody thought about robbing banks, stealing groceries, nothing.
No.
And I was
ripping off tags off mattresses.
Bro, ripping off tags. You know, real crime, James.
Real crime,
you know what I'm saying? And it got me to thinking, that's 100% true. Like, when the Purge comes, people just think about murder. No, murder. Like, I'm trying to get a new dishwasher, a car. I'm trying to get a fence. I'm trying to remodel my house. I want some new smokers. Like,
yeah, bro.
No. Here's, I'm telling you why.
All right.
Because if you steal something, you might get probation. You kill somebody, they're going to kill you.
Let me explain.
You're going to get the maximum amount of crime possible. It's like,
let me explain the real reason, Ken.
Oh, hit it.
Somewhat correct, but here's what it is. Yes, you're right. And I imagine there was a Purge like prequel that we've never seen where people start with the small crimes. But once you get a group of people who just decide we're doing murderings, all of a sudden running out to break a window and grab some Nikes isn't a big deal anymore. That's when you became one of those family that's like, let's lock down this house. Nobody goes outside.
But
so I think it probably started with
murder,
small
though.
Crimes. Because one little group turned into we're just killing everybody. We don't care if you're just out here trying to get a flat screen for
free. And have you ever seen those shows where you could get shop as much as you want in like 1 minute?
Yeah.
They don't go get fruit. They go get like computer stuff
and turkeys.
You get a limited amount of time to commit crime. You want to commit the biggest crime you can.
Well,
Mike, you take turkeys because
that's the biggest one.
It's just weird to me that the psyche of somebody is, hey, you got 12 hours to do whatever illegal you want. I'm gonna kill a bitch. Like, I'm just like, that's not weird to y'all. That's
why doesn't anybody break into a
what do you call it? A gas station and steal a bunch of scratch offs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Why not
scratch offs? Yeah.
Why not go up here to Circle K and siphon all the gas out?
Yeah.
And then like, have the gas truck for tomorrow. Y'all come through. I'm just filling up gas tanks.
That's what I want to see. I want to see the next Purge movie. It be the next day when crime's illegal and you got people got to answer for all the stuff they did. Like I saw you.
Hey. So James, what happened to Michelle?
Bruh.
You know all that, you know all that nagging she was doing.
That was the Purge Father's Day.
Remember how she ain't get me nothing on Father's Day?
Hey, you go look at the billboards and Coffin and killed Newland and put all his pictures up.
Yeah,
bro, that was, I want to see that movie, The Purge, the next day.
Okay, so Mike, you got the 12-hour Purge. Mm-hmm. Okay, murder is there. You can murder if you want to murder, but you got 12 hours to commit crimes you want to commit.
Ooh.
Come on, what you doing, bro?
Oh, dude, first thing I'm going to do is run for politics. Then I have 365 days to do whatever crimes I want to get away with it.
Oh, true. It's a good one.
So you just go, you're going to make yourself mayor in one day, in 12 hours.
Yeah, no, or a powerful position. But yeah, let's see, 12 hours to do any crime. I'm not much of a murderer, man. I mean, I've tried it a couple of times. It didn't do it for me.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I'm like, people went straight to murder. I would think, like, it got to be something else you want to do for 12
hours. You got to think ahead. Yes.
Okay, Ken, they didn't all go straight to murder, but the only one they want to shoot are the people. I mean, the only one you want to film are the murders. Because nobody wants to film somebody breaking into a dollar store.
Yeah, but you got
to
think.
It's like the news. We're only seeing the
dishwasher. I'm trying to get a dishwasher, and it's a group of murderers out there. How am I going to get home with a damn dishwasher?
Hey, dude, there's a reason they didn't show petty crimes, because that's a normal day in Detroit. We already do that little stuff like that. I'm with Kaufman. You want to see people do crazy stuff.
Okay, like, I don't care about them. I'm asking you, James. You got 12 hours to do something illegal. You got a purge for 12 hours. What are you doing?
I'm stealing a car. I'm stealing something I can use the next day. I stole it on the day it was legal. It's mine now. I learned from Jeff Kaufman that possession is 9/10 the law. I'm thinking ahead. I'm stealing groceries. I'm siphoning gas, man. I'm going into the courthouse. I'm getting into the computer system, and I don't have any more child support payments from dudes like that. I'm thinking about what can I do to make my life better if I live. That's what I'm doing. Yeah,
Jeff, what you doing? You got 12 hours. Legal.
Hold on. I'm going to tell you something. Whether it's legal, there's still a moral factor. I still have this thing in my heart.
It's comedy, bro.
No. I'm filming all this crap, and I'm getting paid.
Oh, I'm going to take it. You got 12 hours.
I'm going to be in a tank driving around with four GoPros.
A tank?
Did you guys see that? Someone actually did that in North Carolina. Yeah. Some guy felt like he was getting forced off his land, getting bought out. So he owned like a mechanic shop. He built himself a tank and then went on a rampage of this small town. Went through like elementary schools and stuff like that. They couldn't stop him. They didn't have a tank to counter.
Wait. Oh, Jeff Kaufman, where were you at last week?
Yeah, I know, right?
Were you still in the tank, driving the tank through North Carolina, Jeff? Where was you at last week?
This was in the 70s.
Hey, James.
I'm going to get paid, but I'm going to get paid in a legal way.
I'm driving through a neighborhood in the No Limit tank. Hey, the No Limit. Hey, Jeff Kaufman said, Jeff, go steal a tank. Hey, you go to Jeff's house in his backyard instead of Boys and Me. He got a submarine. Yeah.
Man, I'm burning copies. I'm burning and selling copies of all those DVDs of Disney movies because FBI warnings can't hold me down.
Yo, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, it's the perk. Like, I would be.
But think about it. Why would I not just steal a bunch of scraps?
Yeah, scratch offs. Lottery.
You know why? I'll tell you why you don't steal scratch offs. Because they have the numbers, and the minute they report those numbers stolen, they're worthless.
Once again, it's the 12 hours.
You got to collect the money. You ain't going to collect the money within the first 12. You're going to try to collect.
No.
They're not going to give out any money during 12 hours.
Man, if you steal it during the 12 hours, it's yours. It's yours.
They can't charge you a crime, but it doesn't mean they have to pay you for the civil value.
Yeah, they do.
It's about arresting people. It's not about winning. And so Amanda Heard doesn't get a walk because the purge happened.
Man,
they can either pay up or they're on next year's purge list.
Hey, what's that? What was that movie? The checklist? And the dude was like, "Yo, this guy gave me." Was it a movie or was it a Dane Cook joke? where the guy, he said he was going to kill
that's a huge
car.
He was going to what?
He said the guy, he said it was a kid in school that was super, you could tell he was like a school shooter. But every day, candy bars.
He gave him the candy bar every day.
Yeah, he said, thanks for the Snickers.
Thanks for the candy.
Yeah, now Mike got his list of people. Okay, lottery people. Uh-huh. Yep, y'all on my purge next year.
Yep,
y'all,
there you go.
I'm with you, bro. I am car. I'm gas. I'm getting food. You know how much oxtails cost?
Bro,
I'm getting ribs, chicken wing.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm stockpiling on Enfamil. I'm going to have all these women in my house.
Enfamil is like cocaine right now.
Bro,
it's a shortage,
I'm
man.
I'm telling you, man. It's just, when I read the meme, I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, they're right. The first thing, and I get the name is The Purge, which means, you know, get rid of some people. But still, like murder. You can do anything illegal. I'm killing this. I'm killing my whole HOA. Mm-hmm.
and they don't even show who people would really get killed, though. Think about it. If your whole year you paying child support to a woman that treats you horrible, she gonna end up missing. Like, for real, man.
But the crazy thing is, though,
well, she don't have to make it to her house.
She could be in the street dead.
Yeah.
You don't have to disappear.
But you know, that just reminds me of one of my favorite jokes at Ken's. He's like, and I'd kill her, but I don't want full custody.
There you go.
I gotta kill my children.
Oh wow, Ken.
It's The Purge, James.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Juneteenth, yo.
I'm gonna make a difference during the purge. I'm burning down every vegan restaurant.
Oh heck yeah. I'm burning down vegan restaurants. I'm burning down police stations. Black Lives Matter.
I would never burn a vegan restaurant. Never burn it. I wouldn't put that smell on the neighborhood.
Hey, Jeff, Burger King. Burger King is probably my least favorite fast. If I had to burn down fast food restaurant, it'd probably be Burger King.
But every time I go there, and it could just be where I'm going. The cashier is the rudest person in the world.
Oh, she getting purged.
What about Checkers?
I like Checkers.
The fries. I don't know about the fries.
I love the fries.
That's really the best thing on the menu.
The fries, huh?
Delicious.
Oh, come on, man. Love them fries. Yeah, Jay said, look, hey, yeah, Burger King. Cashier. Hey, can I get some onion ring sauce? We ain't got no damn onion ring sauce.
Oh, yeah. Wait till the next purge.
What's your name?
Got it.
Yeah, the next purge.
Oh, you know these people are hiding. If you're an a-hole normally, you hide.
Yeah.
That's what they did in the movie. Remember they bought that security system that locked you in, but now you locked in with your family who might kill you.
I'm going 20. Is it the whole world or is it just a specific area?
I think it's just the United States.
I'm going on the Bahamas. I'm on one of those 3-day cruises.
Oh, they never showed that. Like you just leave the country.
I thought there was a purge that took place in like France or something like it. Is it worldwide?
I thought it was just the US.
I think it's the US. I've never seen the movie.
Yeah, I've seen one. So yeah. Hey, we're gonna take a commercial break. When we come back, one of my good friends is gonna be joining us. The owner of GQ Customs, Angel Quiñones, will be coming on next. So stay tuned in. This is Real Laugh, Real Radio 104.1. We are back, Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. We are your nightcap of comedy. We thank you so much for tuning in. And if you miss any of these shows, please go to iHeart and search Real Laughs. You can download the podcast. And if you want to see these beautiful faces, go to YouTube and you can check out all of our shows on YouTube. And please, please follow us, Instagram, Facebook, and the YouTube, and the TikTok, and the Twitter. All of it. We're everywhere.
And the TikTok, as our parents say, and the Instagram, and the Walmart.
So please go check us out, man. I'm in the big chair tonight because Miguel decided to take the night off to go to work, even though he doesn't have a job. I'm joined in the virtual studio with James John, Miguel, Mike Herlihy, Jeff Kaufman. And we got a special guest tuned in with us, my good friend for almost 17 years, just started his own custom shoe company. GQ Custom is in the house. What's up, brother?
I'm chilling, man. What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Good to see you again, sir.
Good seeing you again, man. I just want to say, man, I'm a big fan of what you do. I told you that. I was lucky enough to have Mr. GQ, Mr. Angel, on my show, the Lowdown. And, brother, I've seen sneaker fabrication before. It's nothing new. But what you bring to it is a whole nother level of our artistry, man. You are a true artist. You're not just doing shapes. You're not just doing colors. You're creating whole themes for the actual shoe. You're telling a story. It's a mural. You are very gifted and talented. So, bro, big ups to you, GQ Customs. Y'all go check them out.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. We try to bring a little different. You know, there's a lot of customizers out there. Everybody's doing their thing, but we try to do our little flavor to it. So appreciate it, man.
One particular shoe. I'm sorry, Ken. Go ahead, man.
Before we get in the interview, I just had to congratulate him. His Boston Celtics won game 7.
See it.
And that was the first thing he texted me, yo, let's F and go. which I'm a Lakers fan, so I was just like, I ain't even reply back. But go ahead, Jay. What you got?
I was just going to say, man, that brings up a good point. I was going to say something about Boston, the fact I know he's a Boston fan. One pair of shoe in particular that really stood out was he did a Boston Red Sox shoe that was ridiculous. He took the stitching from a baseball and applied it to the stitching of the actual Air Force One, and it was probably one of the most creative fabrication I've ever seen. So you guys definitely got to check him out.
Yeah, check it out, man. So Angel, explain to us, how did the GQ Custom name come about, and how long have you been in business with this?
The GQ Customs name came from my son. His name is Gianni Quinones, so that the GQ in it. We threw the GQ in it for the style. We tried to do it different, but like when I first had my first son, the inspiration was all there. You guys that are parents know that the firstborn, you know, if you're already a hustler, that thing just brings you out so much more. It's like a Nas boost or just on cocaine. Like, I got to do even more because I got a legacy to uphold now. You know what I mean?
Amen. Well, since I'm going to get to that, it's important. This is Jeff. You don't know me too well, but I got money. How much are the shoes? Let's say I want a custom pair of high tops, and I said, listen, I got this comic book. I want to do a law. You know, I'm a lawyer. I want scales of justice. I want you to knock this stuff out.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Yeah.
And you said my legal high tops. And I said, listen, I had this idea. You know, do I come to you with an idea, or do you just say, hey, this is what I want to do and see what you like?
It's both. I mean, you guys can, we do a consultation, right? We do it through either a DM, Instagram, or an email at angel@gqcustoms.com. And we talk about what you want to bring to life on a pair of shoes, right? So it's basically bringing your concept to life. If you already have something and you just want to, you know, get it finessed and finished out, we can do that. Or if you just have, hey, I want Sonic the Hedgehog style, or can you do something and bring it to life? We can do that too. So we basically work with the customer and bring their vision to life, because like a tattoo artist or a person that paints murals or things of that nature, that's the same kind of business we're in. So when you ask about price, it all depends on how detailed we're going to get, right? Because you got to remember, these are a pair
like
of
a
shoes,
range, so. like a range from like, you know, like the high end to the low end. Is there a range?
Sure. Okay. Absolutely. It could go from anywhere from 400 to 1500, right? Okay. So it all depends on the time. Absolutely.
He actually did a pair of shoes for my brother. Is a huge Green Lantern fan, and he did a pair of Green Lantern shoes for my brother that glow in the dark.
What?
Yeah, Lantern glow in the dark. My brother wears them shoes all the time. My brother have on a Carolina blue suit and have on the Green Lantern shoes. Like, they don't even,
tell us that your brother was colorblind. You didn't even
Straight up, bro. My brother is like huge on Green Lantern. That's like his favorite. So he got them shoes. Hey, Angel, of all the shoes you made, what's your favorite one?
It's got to be the Puerto Rico ones, man, because those actually reflect me, my culture, what I see myself as a Puerto Rican. So those were one of my favorites. Yeah.
So, but tell them how long it took you to make that one.
45 to 60 hours, man. So I can even show you. Let me show you these shoes. They're right here, actually.
You brought them on the show. They're amazing.
I don't know if you guys can see that, but all this here is all hand painted. And when you get into the nitty gritty, you got to start using a toothpick to get into those areas, right? So you start seeing, you know, salsa. I don't know if the light allows that, but salsa dancers in there. And then you see on this other
fully
shoe.
Detailed. Look at it. It's crazy. It's the amount of detail that he put on that, Jeff. I wish you could see it a little bit better, a little clearer. But when you get up close to it, it is the strokes you see. There's nothing sloppy. Everything is finely finessed. It's smoothed out. And the
in an artistry, his talent is amazing. When you get to see all the little detail he put in the actual
You take a base shoe. Is this a new shoe, or is this a shoe that you've now cleaned up to make the base shoe?
So we only do new shoes. We tell our customers, we call it dead stock, right? Or as new as possible. So if you have creases or if they're dirty, we're not going to go ahead and do that, because our work is, you know, meticulous, and we get in there and we want it to last. So when you got creases in there, it's hard for the paint to get in there, and you're going to have, you know, further cracking in the future. So bring us a new sneaker so we can actually make
it. So I got to bring it to beautiful. You. You don't go here. These are what I like to work on. These are like some 13D, because that's my size. 13D. I'm trying to make a sale here. Shut up, guys.
No, go ahead, man. Do you?
I'm thinking. You know me. I like to support the people in the show, and every once in a while, I see something. I go, man, I would love to have a custom pair of high tops. I'm just trying. I'm the customer, and I'm coming in trying to get. So if I say, listen, it's going to be a high top, you know, you go, well, this is what I would recommend.
Yeah. We can have that talk, or if you have you're dead set on a pair of shoes that you want done, you know, you can let us know what the shoe is, and we'll let you know what's, you know, we can put on it. We would prefer leather. We can also work on canvas, like, you know, Chuck Taylors and things of that nature. Crocs, nice. You can't do. Rubber, you know, acrylic paint doesn't adhere well to rubber, so stay away from that.
Gotcha. Well, for me, James, when I got my shoe from Andrew, Andrew actually ordered my shoe, and everybody know I'm a Tar Heel.
Yes,
I got my custom Tar Heel shoe, and the first time I wore these shoes was at the Sausage Castle for the comedy show. Me and Hurley, he did at the Sausage Castle, but I stopped wearing them on game day, because when I wore them on game day, Carolina would lose.
It's not my fault, guys. I'm telling you.
On game day, I'm like, I ain't wearing these no more. But he also made some shoes for my wife. My wife is an AKA. And he made a pair of shoes for my wife, and they have been hitting him up like crazy for them shoes. Yeah. So, Angel, my other
nice shoes
is,
by the way.
Love Thank them. You. They love them shoes.
Yeah, nice.
Any celebrity besides me? Celebrity that you've made a shoe for?
Yes. So we're in talks, and actually the shoe's already been created. We're getting into the Major League Baseball space. I don't want to say their name yet because we haven't hand delivered them to that, but it's one of the top baseball teams in MLB, and it's one of the managers there. So we're getting into that space to try to get into the cleats and things of that nature. So absolutely.
He's like Orange County Chopper, but with shoes.
Yes. And that's exactly what it's like. And I was going to say, Jeff, most of the shoes that that people like to get fabricated, because me and Ken like wearing these shoes, are Air Force Ones, a style of shoe that Nike comes out with. It's a clean white surface. Ken just showed his. And they make a high top of that. So honestly, Jeff, if you want to get a sneaker made,
I thought Air Force Ones were like they had one. I mean, do they make new ones all the time?
Those are ones.
Yeah.
I have five Air Force Ones. That's what me and Ken wear.
But do they still sell Air Force Ones in comparison to? I thought they run new editions. Okay.
No, Air Force One is a staple. 1982 is when they created. That thing has not changed since then. It's an amazing shoe.
Yep. Beautiful. And they make a high top version of that, Jeff. And that'd be great for you if you're looking to get a custom shoe, man.
I'm old. I need comfort.
This is a high top right here. This is the highest of highs. They have one right in between that has a strap across as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good shoe, by the way.
Yeah, I love Air Force Ones. Air Force Ones have always been my favorite shoes. I used to wear them on stage. That was always my stage shoe was Air Force Ones. Then I switched over to Converse because Dave Chappelle wore Converse. So Angel, that's my next shoe. I got to get some Converse done up. That's my next.
Get some Chappelle's though. Get some Chappelle Converse.
I get Angel to put Chappelle on the
Chappelle's
face on it. Yeah. The half baked cover, all that. We got you.
What shoes you got in the works? What you got in the works coming up?
I'm working on so many projects right now. We're working on.
I saw the high heel shoe. You did a high heel.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. So we're trying to venture out, right? So it's not all about sneakers. We're just basically trying to build experience for all customers. So we did a pair of high heels. We kind of did a silhouette, kind of like when women wear the ombre, is called that hair that goes from one color, fades into the other. We did that on a pair of high heels. So we're trying to venture into that space as well. There's ladies who love sneakers, but they also have to dress down or dress up, right? So we want to get in that space as well.
What's the wait time on a shoe?
Right now, we're running at a 4 to 5 week turnaround time from delivery to us. before it shipped out to you. And that's constantly growing with the orders that we were receiving, right? So the more orders we have, the more orders we have to process through before we get yours. But that doesn't mean that if you have to expedite something, we can also talk about that.
That was right about to ask. What do I have to put in this hand to get that shoe into this hand faster?
Yeah. It's more conversation.
Boys to men, backyard tour.
First of all, no, that's my best friend. I get that.
Okay,
that's my dog. We 17 years into the friendship, man.
Got
like
it.
I get next day shoe.
You
next day. My homie,
Amazon slime.
Hey, Ken, let me explain how friendship works. Friendship normally is, I'll give you the friend discount. Here's an extra $500. Ken's going to be backed up a little bit.
You have to wait a couple more days.
Yo.
And
the thing about Ken's got a lawyer on retainer, a shoe guy on retainer.
I got a lawyer, shoe guy on retainer. James can cook. I got a chef on retainer.
Chef on retainer.
Subway sandwich artist certified.
Yo, the crazy thing, man, about Angel is I've been with Angel through his journey, bro. Like we grew up as men together. So y'all got to understand my dog doing these shoes and starting his own business from where we started in 2004, you know, as young knuckleheads at Nextel, to seeing my dog, you know, owning property, you know, starting his own business so he can pass it down to his kids. That's what I really wanted to bring you on for,
getting interviewed on TV.
On TV, right. On radio. Got his, he was summa cum laude when he graduated.
Angel, when your son turns 21, he's gonna break your heart. He's gonna look you in the eye and go, absolutely. I've always been more of a gloves guy, Dad.
Yeah, I'm already practicing my tears.
Custom gloves. Hey, funny. Man. Hey, we got a minute left. Hey, Angel, aka GQ Customs. Tell everybody where they can find you at, man.
There you go.
Absolutely. Thank you. So it's at GQ Customs with a Z. That's Facebook and Instagram. And the website is www.gqcustoms.com. Mm-hmm.
We got to get together soon, Angel. Me and you. I got to get that shoe made.
Yeah.
Dude.
So I'm here for you. And I introduce you to Kaufman. So you Kaufman, because he will buy some shoes. Trust me.
Yeah,
he will buy some shoes.
Yeah. Thank you, man.
I don't know where the hell you getting the 13 DDD from or whatever.
13 D.
I'm gonna sew three shoes together. We got it.
13
we
got D. It, but hey,
my thighs aren't the only thing that's thick. You tell
sounds like sounds like a pair of orthopedic Skechers.
Well, hey, bro, thank you so much for kicking it with us, man. Hey, we gotta take a commercial break. We'll be right back. Real Labs, Real Radio 104.1. We're back, Real Labs, Real Radio 104.1. Remember, we're your nightcap economy. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. We got all brand new shows this week. I am Ken Miller. I am in the big chair tonight, joining virtual studio with James John, one of my good friends, Michael Hurley, and from the Under Oath podcast, Mr. Jeff Kaufman. Bro, I got to talk to y'all about something.
Uh-oh.
I'm part of my eighth one, and we got Jeff here. So Jeff, you can help me out. This is my eighth time being part of a class action settlement.
Oh,
I have.
Did you get that Facebook check?
It started with Blockbuster.
What? Eight. I am eight. The one I just got was for my actual mortgage company that I'm paying mortgage for. So I signed up for the class action. James, I want you to throw a number out there. How much you think I got?
Well, I've seen a couple of these class action suits work, and when they were trying to get me to be a part of one, people got paid a crazy low amount. It was like $4.13. So I'm guessing for you, a little bit more, it's Ken Miller, I'm going to say $10.13.
Okay. All right. Michael, what you got? What you think?
$364.39.
Okay. Jeffrey Kaufman, what you think I got?
$41.
$9.83.
Oh, yeah!
Jeff,
I was trying to allow you to save face. I didn't want to go $8 because I felt bad.
You did.
Hey, I lied on purpose.
You my lawyer on retainer, Jeff. This is legit my eighth class action lawsuit. Mm-hmm. The most I've ever got was like $285. That was the Wells Fargo. Remember, Wells Fargo was opening up accounts for everybody. So Jeff, how does this work? Why there's a big amount of money, but we only get a small amount of that money?
Let me explain how this works out. Some lawyer looks over and goes, I think this would be a good idea for me to put a class action. I just need 7 people. That's all you need for a class action. So then he figures out that there's a class for something, like, for example, in your case, whatever that issue was with that company. And then he says, I have enough power. I'm big enough for him to do this. He sets it up, starts looking for people, gets people to come in, lets the company know. The company says, well, we want to settle this quickly to get in and out of this before people realize we did something wrong. Because if you don't enter the class in time, you get taken out. So eventually that's the way it works out.
That's my issue. Like, I've been with Wells Fargo since they were with Covia.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
I've been there forever.
The blue debit card.
How come? Yeah. So how come Ken's getting memos and stuff like that? And I, like, you get all, I saw someone on Facebook recently get a check for like $300 for the class action. How am I not getting notified about this class action? And more so, if you did that wrong to me and then paid everybody else, I really don't care if the timeline lapsed. Like, when I went through this with Equifax, they messed up my credit. And then they did some class action suit that I was never notified about. Why am I not legally allowed to go after them?
Because a federal judge said the class is empty. They had this time to file. They didn't file. And because of this class action suit, which was very public, I'm going to make sure that people can't sue.
How public could it be if I never hear of it, though? Or where do I need to go?
Do you know what the Thrifty Nickel is? Do you know these little stupid newspapers? You know, that you see in court.
Orange Gazette and stuff like that.
In the back of it, there are a bunch of legal notices.
Right.
Just an unbelievable amount. And that's all people have to put out to show that we gave somebody notice. So they're going to say, listen, it was out there long enough. There was a lawyers involved. You know, it's not our problem if they didn't do it. So that's the way that
works. Well, Well, you know what? When the next purge comes up, Equifax, it is going to be your problem. When the next purge comes up, Wells Fargo, it is going to be your problem. Hey, when the next purge comes up, Facebook, I'm going to let you slide because I keep all my photos on your platform.
Hey, Mike, with me, so the first few hours that I was in, I got letters in the mail. And it's a link. You got to go to the link. They give you a little code and sign up. The last few I've actually got emails for. Like, I have an email right now for Capital One, I guess a breach of security for Capital One. So now I'm about to be in my ninth, class action lawsuit, bro. My thing is this, what's up? Why is there no legislation, Jeff, on these lawsuits? Like, I'm in 9 in like the last 7 years.
Do you know how many lawyers pay to politicians?
How much you pay a politician?
I mean, come on. When Obama got,
tell me.
I ain't telling you nothing. Well, I'm saying that.
Idiot. I like it.
What happened is, like, for example, when Obama got elected president, you saw him at John Morgan's house. You saw him at this attorney's house. You saw. What do you think he likes personal injury attorneys, or you think he's there with a briefcase open, saying, "Here, put the money in here." Click. You don't have. That's the way that works. All these politicians, when you donate $1, you expect $7 in benefit from them. And that's what the donation is for. It's not because I like him. Oh, I like this politician. No, this politician is going to throw something in a bill, help me with regulation, or do all that other stuff. So the believe it or not, lawyers spend a lot of money on politicians to make sure laws don't pass.
But don't you think it'd be better money wise for the companies? The companies, like, for the
companies aren't spending money. They can't. What are you going to get every company together?
That's what I'm saying. So these companies are like, the Wells Fargo lawsuit was $380 million. Right. So don't you think it's just better for the company to do the right thing and not have to pay out $380 million?
Do you know what a Pinto is, Ken?
Yeah.
Okay. Pintos used to blow up. That you hit them in the back, they blew up. Pinto, Ford knew this. And they said it's cheaper for us to pay off families than to fix this problem.
You ever see Fight Club? When they're talking about what Tyler Durden does, he's like, it's a basic mathematical thing. If the cost of a recall is more than the cost of paying out to the families these checks for deaths, then we don't do a recall.
That's right.
That's just basically it. Which one's cheaper for us? It is. It makes you want to dress like a bat and go just care about some justice.
We're going to have the purge.
I'm Batman.
I'm Batman. For copyright reasons, I am Bat Person. I am rodent.
Okay, well, now I know. Man. Now I'm learning, because I'm always, every time I see it, because, you know, when they send the email out, they tell you how much the big sum. They don't tell you what you're getting, Mike. They send you the check.
And that's the thing, like with Equifax, like, hey, sorry, we gave out your social security number and all your accounts were frozen. You had to build up your credit that was at 800 and drop to 650 because we messed up. Here's nine bucks. We're all good now, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, by the way, those people still have your social security number and you're not allowed. See, that's the problem.
Mike, did this happen to you?
Yes.
Okay, so, what did you do when that
happened? But I wasn't part of the class action suit.
You didn't have to be part about it, but when it happened, you were damaged immediately. You said, yes. I was damaged. What am I going to do? You don't have to join their class. You can file your own lawsuit against them.
Oh, okay. Can I still do that or no?
We got a lawyer on the planet. You blew past it.
Okay. Dang. And we had a lawyer retain the mic. I got a conspiracy theory about all of that when that happens. Mm-hmm. Whenever I hear about a company saying that we were hacked and your information was stolen, mm-hmm. I watch a lot of TV, I guess. I always think it has not been stolen. I think that company sold your information, and the way they cover it up is saying, we were hacked. It was the Russians who did it.
See, here's the problem.
You've been in a company that actually got hacked. I've had people try to hack into our systems. Yeah. And believe it or not, that all it takes is, we didn't put the Windows update in quick enough.
Right.
You know, these guys are hitting everything. I mean, the Russians are out there. They're crushing. The hackersites are out of Korea and Russia, and these guys are hitting every company day after day after day, and they're going to figure out a way in eventually.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
You know, that's just the way that works, man. I feel bad for these companies. They didn't do this on purpose. The fact was is they paid for security. They pay all this stuff, and it's going to happen. Why? Because you're talking about guys who are just the best of the best at this.
And here was what really upset me with Equifax. Here I was going through thinking about all the ways maybe I slipped up, okay? And they're going, no, no, no. It's obviously something. Someone got your number on their end. Equifax, they found out they were hacked, waited 3 full months to announce they were hacked, even though they knew. And a month and a half after they were hacked, the CEOs of Equifax started selling off their own stock before they made the announcement. So those guys made their money knowing that once they said, hey, we got hacked, they were going to lose how much?
I don't want to play the other side of this, Mike. You're assuming this was Equifax. Now, you have given your security number to a ridiculous amount of companies.
Mm-hmm.
How do we know it's not one of those companies that caused
it? Because it lined up exactly in the time frame and it was so widespread. It wasn't just a matter of like, Target got it. My number went to like so many different places. It was obvious that it came from this breach and it was sold off to somebody and then used very much.
Now, here's where it gets fruity. Okay. Mm-hmm. Why didn't any of these other companies just arbitrarily start shipping out goods and everything else like that without making sure it was you?
Because that's not the way society is set up right now. You got Amazon.
They should double check things when you buy. They should have these things in place, and they don't. So these companies just rip people off. And Equifax covered the whole bill instead of, I mean, how many people, when Target goes, wait a minute, suddenly we're selling 200% more goods today than we did normally. You know, somebody should have picked that up. But they don't.
Yeah, I agree. But being the person who was wronged, I feel like all the companies should burn. And the next purge, I got my list. I'm coming for you. All of you.
Hey,
I'm
Mike,
like a man
Mike,
wrote
I'm gonna be
it,
real with you. It sounds like to me that Jeff Kaufman has something to do with your social security number being stolen. He defended them too much.
Mm.
Well, that's because he's a lawyer and pays money to certain people and they're on the list.
Yeah.
The 1% protects the 1%. Have I taught you nothing, Ken Miller?
I'm learning, bro.
You don't think you're partying with Boys to Men one day and then fighting for the little guy the next day, do you?
Yeah. Hey, partying with the Boys to Men, then on here with us the next day.
For the world, light the fire.
This is my version of charity. Stop it.
Mike. We got about 3 minutes, but Mike,
just come to the end of the road.
Let's talk some TikTok, bro. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed your views going down?
I probably because I haven't made a video in like a month and a half.
Yeah, I don't know.
I gave up.
Ever since I became one of the content creators.
Why did you give up when you had so many views, man?
Because me and Ken were neck and neck, and now Ken's like 100 million followers.
No more, bro. I can't get a view on TikTok now.
No?
No, bro.
That's heartbreaking.
I saw a video from some lady that said when you start doing the creator fund, TikTok start lowering in your views. And I was gonna ask you if you noticed.
Because now they gotta pay you. Yeah, now they gotta pay you so that people think they messed the algorithm a little bit. But you know what? There's a whole bunch of different reasons, man. You cannot be hidden. Are you still putting out videos every day?
Nah, because I was frustrated because my videos are like it.
Yeah, here's the thing, man. The algorithm rewards you by the number of videos you put out. So just the fact that you've been frustrated not putting out videos, that's going to affect how many plays and how much you're getting.
So I got to go back to my 2-3 videos.
You got to go back. You got to go back to feeding the beast, man, and you'll see it pop. You'll get those 4,000 or 5,000 views, but then you'll see another, you know, what you got. You got quite a few million view videos right now, right?
Yeah, but lately it's been like...
Nah, yeah. Just get back to work, man. It will happen for you.
You made $12 on my last video.
Hot $12, bro. I took that now, on the rocks.
Yeah, you still got to do that thing where you got the TikTok stuff, but you know TikTok ain't where the money is. It's YouTube and Facebook and Reels and all that. So you got to find a way to transfer that TikTok follow you got, get them over to a platform that pays.
The most views I've ever gotten on a video has been Reels. I posted a video and it just...
What is Reels?
Reels is the video TikTok system.
Facebook. Yeah, it's like Facebook, TikTok.
It's like keeping it real. Facebook and Instagram. All the kids are saying.
Facebook and Instagram have Reels, and you can use that. And it works.
Quick short video.
It works, yeah.
All right, we got to get up out of here. We got a minute left. James, where you at this weekend, brother?
I'm going to be in Winter Park at Twisted Root for Bonkers Comedy Club. If you guys want tickets, go to 407-629-2665 and get your tickets right now.
Jeff Kaufman, where you at this weekend, bro?
I'm actually fortunate. Tuesday, I'm on Afrotainment. Giving some knowledge to the masses, and then Thursday I'm going to be at Bike Night in at the Buzzard in Deltona. So a little busy.
Michael Hurley, where you at this weekend, homie?
You know where I'm going to be. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm at the MegaCon convention. I'm performing with the Geese of Comedy. Thursday, our show's at 8. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I believe it's a 5 o'clock show. You'll find us. We're always in a big ballroom right there, right outside the main floor. Just check your brochure when you get there. Geeks of Comedy. We got a great lineup this year. We managed to get Ken Miller in. We finally were able to collect enough money to get his exorbitant asking price. So we got him there. We got Kevin White there. We got Marcus Crespo there. Samantha Ivey's going to be doing a set. I think Hannibal Collins is swinging in. We have Minnie. Roberto Font is making his first appearance with the Geeks of Comedy based on Ken Miller's recommendation.
I love that kid, bro. That's one of my favorite up and comers. I'm also this Wednesday, I will be at Fat Fish Blue, which is the outside bar of the Orlando Improv. So come swing by. Dwayne Williams is headlining, and I'm opening for him. So we're switching spots.
Wow, Ken. Thursday is on the downfall, huh?
Oh, I'm going to bury the hell out of him. I'm just doing this so I can bury him. Because he always talk about burying me. I'm going to eat him alive. Thursday and Friday, I'm at MegaCon. I am not dressing up, but I will wear a Black Panther shirt on Thursday and Friday. For you, Jeff Kaufman, I'm going to wear one of your comic book shirts. So I need you to send me one so I can make it and put it on the shirt. And Saturday, I'm at Palm Coast for Christy B. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, Michael Hurley will be in the big chair. Thank y'all for listening. Go to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow us. Also, go to Real Radio. Look up Real Labs. Follow us on there. Download our podcast. Go to YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. I'm Ken Miller. That's James John. Mike Hurley. Jeff Kaufman. Y'all have a good night. Bye.
Follow me on TikTok.
Mike Hurley.
James John Comedian.
No, Mike Hurley.
James John Comedian.
No, Mike Hurley.
You're racist.